नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, the final verses of chapter 16, how Parikshit received the age of Kali, and that's followed by chapter 17, punishment and reward of Kali. So, chapter 16, primarily it's a dialogue between Mother Earth and in the form of a cow, and a bull. The beginning of the chapter is Raj Parikshit is ruling the kingdom, description of the opulence and the prosperity and the well-being of his kingdom. Then suddenly this word comes, there's this atrocious thing happening in your kingdom. A low-class person, dressed like a king, has a club in his hand and he's breaking the legs of a bull. And Maharaj Parikshit is shocked that such a thing could happen in his kingdom. At the same time, his chivalrous spirit is roused and he leaves his royal city, royal palace, and heading in the direction where this report is coming from, and he's going with all of his soldiers. Oh. Military is human eye. It's breaking the legs of a bull. So, then comes the Shonak Rishi, the sages, headed by Shonak Rishi, asking Sutta some important questions about the incident so that Sutta can expand upon the explanation of the incident and back and forth. Then the conversation begins. The conversation begins with this famous line, "My dear mother, you're not looking so hale and hearty. What can be the cause? Is it some internal disease?" And so on. Yes. Then he suggests various reasons why she might be unhappy. Is it because of this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this? All symptoms of the age of Kali. And her reply is, "O Dharma, whatever you have inquired from me shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions." So, but her answer is in a summary form. Didn't go into detail like he did. She first points out that you too are in a suffering condition. You were once maintained by all four legs, and now that's not the case. And you too used to increase the happiness of all people in the universe by the mercy of the Lord, but now that's not the case. You're also in a suffering condition. The Mother Earth is very Krishna conscious, so her attention immediately then goes to the Supreme Lord, listing qualities within him. Prabhupada in this verse is numbered 40 of them, qualities that are within Krishna, who by his presence on earth made those qualities manifest on earth, and now that Krishna has gone, those qualities are no longer present. And it's not just the absence of those qualities, but the absence of Krishna, which causes the absence of those qualities. It's very important in our theology. If we want to, in education, they have this thing they call character education, only they can't do it. Because without God, so in a secular society, God has to be out, but they want character. And they're stymied. They can't do it. Because without God, you don't have character. You don't have proper qualities. Mother Earth is saying. In his absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. So, I am sorry to see this condition of existence. Pause is the absence of the personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada gives a 5-page purport to that one. Pause was the cure. Like, you know, the classic. I don't know if heard this history, but I remember specifically the history. Prabhupada was traveling in an airplane and coming to the U.S., maybe from Europe, I think it was, and Time magazine had a cover, a title, big letters, Crime, Why and What to Do. It's related to the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada got into the mood. You know, it's something that's current and trendy, that's on the minds of people of the time. So, crime, why, and what to do. And he started speaking about it, and speaking about it, and speaking about it, and speaking about it, and speaking about it. So, in Chicago, the temple president at the time, Sri Govinda, was really good at picking up on Prabhupada's mood and, like, amplifying it. So he made an arrangement for Prabhupada to meet with the lieutenant of the Chicago police force, you know, like Crime City, USA. Historically, it's one of the jewels of Chicago, is the amount of crime from, you know, Al Capone and the mafia days and all of that. And there's a lot of history before Al Capone came around. Tied into animal slaughter, Chicago was the place where, when they built railroad cars, railroad lines, the railroads had all their cattle in cattle cars to Chicago, where the slaughterhouses took place. There's so much crime, just led to the reaction of crime. And elsewhere, so they came up with other ways of making crime. Anyway, so he met with the Lieutenant Mosey, and the Lieutenant was, you know, concerned, just as the Time magazine article was, crime, why, and what to do. So then the Ounce of Self-Realization, Prabhupada, speaking, and he's saying is waking people to Krishna consciousness. You know, the absence of the good quality will be counteracted by the presence of Krishna in the form of chanting. But it was, you know, well, we can't do that because we're a secular government. We can't spend government money to promote chanting Hare Krishna and distributing prasadam because we're a secular government. Okay, then you have your crime problem. Influence of the age of Kali comes in where the presence of Krishna on earth comes. So then Prabhupada goes through in the purports in a very beautiful way, in a very important way for us also. Okay, now we're in the midst of Kali Yuga. Fast forward in time, and here we are. It's only 5. Jarasandha, you can go home. Completely humiliated. But completely determined. I'll do it again. I'll do it better next time. 21 times he came for Akshahini divisions. Anyway, so instead of Akshahini divisions, it's more sophisticated. In one sense, more sophisticated. By how many, you know, nuclear warheads and how many missiles and this and that and the other thing. And now it's, you know, so many other kinds of technology. So it's spy technology and information, nanotechnology. It's all driven by defense money. Anyway, Hare Krishna, you know about this. To bring about a war in a peaceful society, they try to equip themselves with all kinds of deadly weapons to bring about a war in a peaceful society. They have no ambition other than personal aggrandizement, and thus Mother Earth feels overburdened by such undue increases of military strength, by increase of the Asuric population, those who follow the principles of religion become unhappy, especially the devotees or devas. Paragraph. In such a situation, the personality of Godhead incarnates to vanquish the unwanted asuras and to reestablish the true principles of religion. This was the mission of Sri Krishna, and he fulfilled it. So, that's what Mother Earth is saying. This was the condition. Krishna came to relieve the condition that I was feeling, and also that you were feeling, and he accomplished it. Then, he left. Who, therefore, can tolerate the pangs of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He could conquer the gravity and passionate wrath of his sweethearts, like Satyabhama, by his sweet smile of love, pleasing glance, and hearty appeals. She's now going to compare herself to Satyabhama by saying, when he traveled my surface, I would be immersed in the dust of his lotus feet and would thus be sumptuously covered with grass, which appeared like hairs standing on me out of pleasure. In the purport, Prabhupada is explaining, not only could Krishna satisfy the queens, but sometimes he was absent from them and they would feel great separation, but then he would return. But Mother Earth, wherever Krishna, from whether it was in Dwarak or some other place, always Krishna was, his lotus feet were touching Mother Earth. And so how much even more fortunate she was than Satyabhama. But then he left. So the problem is Krishna left. What's the solution to the problem? The scheduled incarnation for Krishna is gone. And now Kali Yuga is appearing. So that's the last verse. While the earth and the personality of religion were thus engaged in conversation, the saintly King Parikshit reached the shore of the Sarasvati River, which flowed toward the east. End of chapter 16. So that's Maharaj Parikshit coming to confront the personality of Kali. The Srimad Bhagavatam here is not explicitly speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but implicitly. There's a recording of Prabhupada explaining to Hayagriva a drama that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written about the advent of Kali. And in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, I don't know exactly how it evolved, but it was very popular to have skits, not like we have today with full-length dramas, but it was kind of an impromptu thing. The scholar and the boatman skit, or the wrong bank account skit, standard little dramas, little skits. And the devotees would put it together and, present a little thing, then there'd be a punchline. It was common. So, during that time, so Hayagriva was a English professor at Ohio University, Ohio State. So, because he was an English professor, he knew about, composition and grammar and drama. So Prabhupada was instructing him in a summary way, because we didn't have the exact text, apparently, but he was describing Act 1 and Act 2 and who the players would be and how they should dress and what they would say and the whole thing. And following that, during Prabhupada's time, a group of devotees in New York established a Vaikuntha players group, Nayana Baram and Boitakshan Rasagya and Lokamangala and some, stalwart names. And They were really good. They really, really intensely practiced at it. And this was one of their dramas. Sudama Maharaj also joined them after some time. And they had this, you know, cow face mask. So the opening scene is the personality of Kali and his consort Sin. They just performed this in New York at Rath Yatra this past weekend, and then in the temple room. And it's contemporary, and it has a powerful message. So the second scene is Maharaj Prichit confronting the personality of Kali, but first you introduce the character, the personality of Kali. And the consort Sin moves around like, you know, a livid dancer. I am the personality of Kali, and I am his consort Sin. Ha ha! We will make the head spin of all the people of this age. It is mine, I am the king, I rule. And then he gives different orders to the personality of Sin, how she should get people into intoxication and illicit sex, and they, you know, play it out, and they laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And so then, you know, you get the picture, this, you know, this really wicked person and his shakti, the sin that enables him to rule. And then the next scene. The second scene is the bull who's standing on one leg wobbling and the other legs are crumpled. So it's, you know, it's a person with a sheet over him. You can So Mother Earth and the cow mask comes and asks all these questions, same as, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear Mother, are you not feeling hale and hearty? The same language. And Krishna has left. Then the next scene is Maharaj Prichit comes with a sword in his hand, ready to chastise the personality of Kali. And then the whole thing of where Kali can take shelter is where there's sin. But in Maharaj Prichit's kingdom, there's no sin, so where there's hoarding of gold. So they have those three acts. I think it's more elaborate in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing. But it's important. Well, one appreciation is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take the message of the Bhagavatam, make it palatable for a contemporary audience, because he was writing for people in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in Bengal. That was his audience. And so the drama was to address, to instruct them, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of a drama that they could relate to, because there's the players and they get the message of how to bring the antidote, the cure, to the influence of the age of Kali. Be really clear what the age of Kali is and how its influence is spread and how to bring about the change. And then, of course, at the end is a nice kirtan to check the imbalance of values in society. And this influence of this age of Kali, just as with the advent of Krishna comes when Mother Earth and Dharma make their appeal, so also in the beginning of the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya appears for the same reason. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also appears very early in the age of Kali for the same reason. For those who want relief from this influence of unnecessary suffering due to the influence of the personality of Kali, there's an opportunity to get relief, to get shelter. There's a problem, though. There's always a problem. The problem is Prabhupada would repeat it over and over and over and over. People don't even know what the purpose of life is. Nor do they care what the purpose of life is. They care about sense gratification. And something that interferes with their sense gratification, they have no interest in. And they'll tell you, I don't have any interest. Or they may say it more softly, I don't have time. And it's a fact, they don't have time because they're too busy with their sense gratification. There's no time. Because the external energy works in that way. There's no time. There's no happiness either, but there's no time. And it brings all types of unwanted circumstances of life. People don't like the unwanted circumstances, but they don't want to give up the fundamental principle of dedication to sense gratification. That's the standard of happiness. Even though it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring happiness. And it does bring a host of problems, like crime, why and what to do. And it's not just on, you know, the low-class people. There's crime at every level. And the so-called high-class people, because they don't have a clue about the real purpose of life. You know, one could go on with some examples. During the Festival of Inspiration, publicly, first it was privately, then I heard it publicly from Peter Burwash, was sharing that our new savior, our new president, who is, you know, going to make a change, bring about change in Washington. One of the first things that he did, this I even heard from our devotees in Europe, they were shocked. They thought, maybe there's hope now. Bush is out and Obama's in. One of the first things he did was he appealed for money from Congress to increase and open up the varieties of abortion that are allowed. And then what Peter Burwash was sharing is he's put together a whole package. Embedded in that package of legislation is third trimester abortions. This is our president. And with the, you know, well, we have a difference of opinion, but we have to respect differences of opinion. This is, you know, I want it. This is something I want. Why did he want such a thing? And what? I'm sure he has his rationale, but my goodness, that's the leader of our country. That we all are hopeful he'll make a change in Washington. Anybody that has that fundamental of a misunderstanding, third trimester abortion, why not just say, you know, just keep going. Infanticide. And keep going. You know, why? Why limit it? That's, what's the basis of living, if you could, you know. It's the even according to, in other words, according to their medical science, there's now life. You know, there's some argument that says before a certain stage there's no life, which is a ridiculous argument. But there's heartbeat. There's life. And abortion legislation to provide government funding for women who want this. You know, something's fundamentally missing with such leadership. And so rather than just, well, we don't like that person, or we don't like that particular legislation, what's the solution to the problem? The Bhagavatam is giving us the indication, the solution to the problem. It's not, you know, just get out our military phalanxes and fight against those that have the, you know, military phalanxes. They've got the toys to smash anybody making any effort. They made sure of it. So anyway, any ideology within the public education system of democracy, at least our variety of democracy, cannot speak about the cure. You're forbidden. You can't speak about God. It just can't. So it has to happen outside of the public funded methods because of secularism. And therefore devotees were underfunded. But we have a spirit and we have a very powerful method, a means of, even if people don't understand the language, we, at our, Ramabhadra got a nice idea that at the Rath Yatra for the, when the parade came at the end, and the kirtan on the stage, Lokanath Maharaj with, 20 people, wonderful kirtan on the stage. The very next, so everyone's attention is peaked to the height. He played, right away, he played Prabhupada speaking. It was that address from Brahma Samhita. The transcendental autocrat is forever inviting the fallen conditioned souls to associate with him in a loving and serving mood. But unfortunately, they're apt to indulge in that which is bringing their own destruction. Then describes the chanting of the holy name as the cure for the problem. So, and in that speech, Prabhupada says, it doesn't require education. You don't even have to know what the words mean. It still acts because it's so potent. Like a highly potent drug injected intravenously within a ailing patient, it acts at once in the whole body. So, chanting of the holy name. We're given a means, along with then how to lead one's life through this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, how to lead one's life. Just right in the first canto, we discussed it last night. Maharaj Parikshit, Grandfather Bhishma, explaining to Maharaj Yudhisthira in chapter 9 of the first canto, here's how how you should lead your life. Principles that you should, as the king, Maharaj Yudhisthira, you should direct society, how principles by which they should lead their life, which is not going to be possible in secular state, absent God consciousness. So how do you bring God consciousness into that mix? The cesspool, the contamination of the age of Kali. You need something that's highly potent to bring purity into that impurity. So chanting of the holy name in the direction of Srimad Bhagavatam. The glorification of the personality of Godhead checks that insidious influence for those who give oral reception. So creating situations where people can hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and chant the holy name. And even if initially it's just chant the holy name and take prasadam. Chant the holy name and take prasadam. Chant the holy name and take prasadam. Then hear a little something. Then hear a little something more. And that's how Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness in the West. That was my first experience. It was at the college campus. It was 2 hours of chanting, 10 minutes of speaking, and lots of prasadam. And those that are interested, you can come to our little center across from campus. And then some people came to the little center across from campus, and they heard some more. But kirtan prasadam and message and ideally nice qualities in the devotees that are attractive just to see them. That's powerful also. It's very attractive to the process when the persons who are living the process have nice qualities. And they know how to take care of one another and behave in a, how one expects a spiritualist to behave. But so the physician, Vyasadeva, knowing the ailment of the age of Kali, is providing us with this medicine, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhavosa that Shrotra Manovi Ramat, that medicine that's can cure the ills of the age of Kali. Just one final thing. It's again, it's an appreciation of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not being mentioned by name, specifically in the verses, but the scene is the same. The scene is the same as the advent of Lord Krishna. It's the scene for the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the next age, with practically the same language. And the instrument of a powerful king, that's in this case it's Maharaj Parikshit, but in order to truly bring effective transformation of the influence of the age of Kali, it requires a qualified leader. No, we don't have one in the government position, unfortunately. And so things have to happen outside of, through a qualified leader. So it's less effective. Prabhupada would speak about that to government. You know, we have limited resources. With our limited resources, this is what we're doing. It's to Lieutenant Mosey. You give us some funding, and we'll accomplish, with less money than you're spending to deal with the crime problem, we'll deal with it more effectively. But you won't do that, so we're doing with our little limited resource. But at least with our little limited resource, what we should be careful, like paying attention to, is that a real quality outcome, a real quality product of the devotees that we're following, and we're training others who come to our association to properly follow what the teachings provide us. We're applying the medicine the proper way. The outcome will come. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yeah?
Theological question is regards to you know, Christians believe that there was Adam and Eve, and then life started, or humankind started that way. While we believe that there are Manus, and I mean, I feel that this was thinking. I mean, our theology looks more comprehensive. So, I mean, how do we understand and how do we relate to the other theology?
Prabhupada gave a simple answer that you can expand upon, but the simple answer is the Adam and Eve explanation is symbolic. It's not literal. The symbolism is they're in innocence, there's Adam and there's Eve. And then they saw an apple. And the apple is the apple of knowledge. And they bit in the apple. And then everything, all innocence was lost. So then they covered their nakedness because they were no longer innocent. And so on. So what is it that a living entity becomes covered by? Avidya. Thinking that it's Vidya, as in Ishopanishad. One needs to know the difference between Vidya and Avidya. Not knowing the difference between Avidya and Vidya, one accepts Avidya to be Vidya, and Vidya to be Avidya. You know, knowledge in the mode of ignorance. And with that comes degradation. That's how we understand that explanation. They don't take it as allegorical. They take it as literal. Once upon a time, there was Adam and Eve. Don't ask me where Adam and Eve came from. They came from God. Adam and Eve. first man, first woman, and then Prajay. We all descended from Adam and Eve. And then those same people look at, you know, the Manus and the Prajapatis and, you know, varieties of life, that they come from them. They look at that and go, that's mythology if I ever heard it. So they look upon Bhagavad theology as we look upon, well, we look upon theirs as not mythology, but allegory. And they look upon Bhagavad theology as mythology. But the common mass is that both accept that God is the source. Is that all right? If you, due to karma, made it an effort to explain human devolution. So if you want to, how might a scientific-minded person look at the Vedic picture of the origin of life and the diversity of species, read that book. So that if you, either for your own mind or in dealing with someone that holds some other theology, you have some basis, more than that short description I just gave. Else? Okay. Anyone either has to go to work or is satisfied. Or is to see the Prabhupada.